Today we're starting a four-part series. I think it's going to be four parts. It all depends on if I can get each part done in a certain time frame. We're looking at church membership. So for those who are visiting, the next couple of weeks you can find out what we expect from church members. And you'll know exactly what membership means here. So I'm going to be working on our membership, but I think the membership that we share here is probably common to most churches that are wanting to have a family of people who are growing in Jesus. Now, the word membership is of Christian origin, believe it or not, but it's been taken over by the world and emptied of its original meaning. Today, too many people associate the term church membership with paying tithes or some form of financial giving. I don't go to that church because they look for money. So does the receiver of revenue. Occasional church attendance and having your name on some membership register for dedication, marriage, and funeral. I want you to know that as far as the pastors are concerned, we call it the hatch, match, and dispatch policy. So we know that there are people who come and become a member, and that's the only reason they're here. They want somebody to marry them. They want somebody to bury them. That's life. Now, the Apostle Paul had a very different image of membership. To him, being a member of the church did not refer to some cold induction into an institution, but rather it meant becoming part of a vital organ of a living body. Each one of us makes up this living body called the church. Each one of us is vital to this body. And you have to think in these terms because the Bible uses the body as a picture. All of us here today are part of a body. If one of us doesn't function, we're going to affect the rest of the body. So if my liver stops working, I'm in trouble. If you stop working, we're in trouble. Got it? Now, we need to reclaim this image because any organ that is, you know, out of place, detached from the body, is going to die and it's going to miss out on what it was created for. And that's true of Christians that are uncommitted to any specific congregation. Nowhere in Scripture, nowhere. You can bring whatever version of the Bible you want to and try and convince me. Nowhere will you find that one can be a Christian and being exempt from being an active member of a local church. Now, I've heard people come with their arguments and all the rest of it, but it's a hum-do-darn rubbish. Now, you need to understand, membership is not simply attending a church service occasionally. I go to the dentist occasionally, but only when I really need to go, because it costs money, and I don't like people drilling holes in me. Okay? Membership is not an occasional thing. I would be terribly uncomfortable if my legs only worked for me occasionally. Membership is not attending a class for membership, being admitted publicly on stage, and then fossilizing. Tony asked me, please, will you explain to them what fossilizing is? I said, yeah. It's going dead spiritually and having a heart of stone towards God and His church. Are you a fossil? Or are you a member? Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus did not establish the church as a passive membership club, but as a vital, spirit-filled, active community to touch the world with His love, His grace, His mercy, His power. You want to join a club? Go play golf. Or Twinkles, or whatever. Go join a chess club. This is not a club. This is the living organism called the church. Held together in Christ Jesus. Now, genuine members have a sense of ownership. Oh, I love genuine memberships because they are contributors and not just consumers. They don't go to church just, I hope the sermon's going to be good today. I hope the worship's going to be good. Well, what about you being good? Why not you come ready to worship and give God everything that you've got? Just a thought. And how about coming willing to hear the word and let it change your heart? You know, a good attitude will change your altitude. Now, genuine members talk about our church. Loosely connected folk talk about this church or your church. And I know where folk are when they speak to me and refer to CBCF as my church. I have to hold my hand because I want to slap them silly. Because what they're telling me is, I haven't really bought into this family, it's yours. And I want good news for you, it's not mine. Really. So there's a number of benefits in being a genuine member of a local church. It identifies a person as a genuine believer. I mean, unbelievers don't really go to church. They go to the opposition on a Sunday. You want to know who the opposition is? Reds Mall. There's lots of opposition out there. Some of them even go pole dancing. Yeah. It provides a spiritual family to support and encourage them in their walk with Christ. We need one another. It gives them a place to discover and use their gifts in ministry. You do know that God has gifted you for ministry. The gifts He's given you are to be put into action. Got it? Tap the person next to you and ask them, have you got it? It places them under spiritual protection of godly leaders, which is very important. It gives them the accountability they need to grow. And I'll share more about those things in the weeks to come. When a believer comes into membership, there are expectations of the church family life that God requires. You know, there are a whole lot of one another statements in the New Testament that you cannot do unless you are committed to the local church. Love one another, encourage one another, do good to one another. Those are action things. And Scripture challenges us to consider our connection to the church. Is it a loose connection? Because if you're loosely connected to the church, I think I want to guarantee you are loosely connected to Jesus. I'll explain why just now. So, Ephesians 2:19. Now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven. You are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Romans 5:12-5. In the same way, we are many, but in Christ we are all one body. What are we? One body. What are we?
One body.
Oh, what are we?
One body.
Thank you. Each one is part of that body. You're part of the body. I'm part of the body. Oh, and this is the part that hurts. And each part belongs to the other parts. That's scripture. Oh, I don't like scripture. That's your problem. Now, at Vineyard Centurion, we require people coming into membership to do so with the intention of being active members, fulfilling their calling in Christ Jesus. There are really plenty of other congregations one can join that offer a passive membership if that's what you're looking for. So if you're looking for, you know, birth, marriage, death, policy, church, there's lots of them. We're not one of them. So if you want passive membership, you're in the wrong place. But if you want active membership, you want to glorify God, you want to grow in God, you want to flow in the Holy Spirit, then you're in the right place. So let's move on to the first of our membership statements. And this is number one. There are four sections. Today we're examining, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards other members, by refusing to gossip, by following the leaders. Now, before we go on, I want to just establish a fact, okay? In Christ Jesus, we are as believers 100% united. Spiritually, legally, in the kingdom, we are one. We have been given this unity by God Himself. We don't have to make unity. We already have it in the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you getting this? So when somebody talks about we have to work towards unity, they don't know what they're talking about. We can't work towards that unity. We are already united in Christ Jesus. So just look around who you're united to. And this is not a political meaning, so it's got nothing to do with politics. This has to do with the kingdom of God. This has to do with the bride of Christ. This has to do with the living, dynamic, life-pulsating body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, this is good stuff. Now, the other side of this is, we are in unity unless we break the unity by our behavior and attitude. So if we're living in sin by bad behavior and bad attitude, we actually break the unity that God gave us. And so the way to solve that is to repent and get forgiven by God, repent and ask forgiveness from those that we have disunited ourselves from. It's our moral and spiritual responsibility, obligation, and whatever to protect the unity that we have in Christ. And so we go to Romans chapter 14, verse 19. So let us concentrate on the things which make for harmony and on the growth of our fellowship together. Do you hear that? Let's concentrate, focus on the things which make for harmony and on the growth of our fellowship together. I find that to be a very challenging scripture, don't you? Because that means we've got to be doing something. So it's not just passively. you know, being a flycatcher. No matter where believers are or what they're doing, they are the Lord's. The Lord Jesus is their Lord, for believers have placed their lives under the care and the keeping of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that so? The Lord is our master. Isn't that so? It got very silent there, didn't it? We make sure that everything we do pleases the Lord, our master. Yeah. Hey, 1%. One old person. The youngsters still have to come to Jesus. The church is Jesus' creation. If we miss that, we actually miss the whole reason of what Jesus has done. Jesus loves his church. Do not speak against his church, because you're speaking against him. Give you an example. I hear that you've gone somewhere and you've said, my wife is a terrible little short twit. I'm going to hunt you down. And when I'm finished with you, you'll be a Twitter. You'll be tweeting. You don't mess with the bride of Christ. You don't mess with my wife. Mess with me, that's okay. I'll still get you. The church is designed for the benefit of the believers and for the gospel to be preached to all unbelievers. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, and I will build my church. Whose church? His church. Who does this church belong to? I hope that sinks in. And the church, Dutch Reformed Church, two blocks away from here, who does it belong to? And any other church meeting in Centurion at this time? Belongs to him, big or small. It's his. We dare not speak against his bride. How you treat the church reveals how you're treating Jesus. Just think about it. Okay, so I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards other members. 1 Peter 1:22. Have a sincere love for other believers. Love one another earnestly with all your heart. How much of your heart? All. Okay, let's check this out. Is this the kind of love that's evident in your life? A love that goes the extra mile in seeking to understand another believer's opinion. You do know we don't agree on everything. But do we listen to the opinion of another person? We don't have to agree. A love that looks beyond the faults of others and sees their need. A love that always seeks to walk in forgiveness. A love that looks for ways to serve others and not just be served. A love that desires the best for others. A love that enjoys time spent together as believers. Well, I can go on and on and on and on with those things. There's no greater force than love. Genuine love puts people together and holds them together. And there's no greater bond on earth than love. And this is especially true of the love that believers have for one another. Is our love for one another different to our love for neighbors? The Bible says yes. Emphatically yes. You see, we have a different kind of love for one another than toleration. The love that believers are to have for one another is what the Greek calls agape love. It's a special kind of love. In John 13:34, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Notice that we are to have the same love for one another as God has for us. Does God love you even if your tacky stink? Do you have perfect love for the person sitting next to you right now whose tacky stink? I knew I'd get you somewhere to have a bit of a giggle. We are to love one another as we are loved by God. It's a tough call. And the only way that can happen is if we surrender our lives to God and let His love flow through us. We can't conjure up this agape love. It's Holy Spirit love. It's God's love. Okay, I will protect the unity of my church. Remember what I said just now? We have the unity. Our job is to protect it. Not make it. Protect it. Got it? Okay, by refusing to gossip. Well, Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, I want you to know that the word unwholesome means rotten, foul, putrid, and polluting. You didn't know that kind of stuff comes out of your mouth. You see, unwholesome talk, of course, includes a whole lot of stuff, swearing, cursing, unholy talk. We have to ask ourselves, are the words that we're speaking having a positive or negative response or a negative influence or a negative result or a positive result, positive influence on others? If it's negative, shut up, zip the lip. If it's positive, it's probably from God. Which, just for some of you, off-colored humor and dirty jokes is for the toilet. It's not to come out of your mouth. You see, a foul mouth causes corruption. It actually decays one's own personality, and that's why I say a foul, filthy mouth kills character. Isn't it so nice? You see some beautiful person, and the next minute, they're a little cheesed off at the till, and they start swearing and cursing, and words that you didn't even know existed come pouring out of that sweet-looking mouth. That's when I want to run to the shelf, grab one of those bottles of dishwashing liquid, run back and go, kss, just wash some of the stuff away. That stuff still works on kids, eh? Soap helped me when I was small. Yeah, I just just want to go back, I think. Man, oh man, back. Yeah. Just going to the subject of gossip. Gossip is a terrible sin in the church. And really what gossip is, it's character assassination. It's a terrible, terrible sin. If you don't have a kind word to say about somebody, zip the lip. Because God will hold you accountable. You will give an account for every word you speak. I know people have said you mustn't use the word shut up in church. I don't know why. We're shut up inside this building right at the moment. We need to think before we open our mouths. If you know a weakness of a fellow believer, you don't go and talk to others about it. You go and talk to the believer. And then you help them to come out of that weakness into healing and wholeness. But if you skinner, gossip, don't be surprised when it happens to you. Because what you sow, you reap. From experience, we've had people in the church, I've been in church in a long time, so I'm not going to say where and how, who eventually found themselves totally isolated from everyone else in the church. Nobody wanted to talk to them because they were a skinnerback. They were a gossiper. Nobody shared anything with them because 2 minutes after sharing, the whole world would know. James 3:8. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's always ready to pour out its deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Heavenly Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against men who are made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Dear brothers and sisters, surely this is not right. At Vineyard Centurion, as part of membership, we require tongue control. That's a membership commitment. Then, following the leaders, Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account." It could be men and women. "Who give an account, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." Now, bottom line, if your leaders are godly people who are leading well, teaching the word of God fairly well, caring about you, looking after the church well, then the scripture says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. If your leaders are just robbing the church of all finances, spending money on airplanes, I wouldn't submit to them. Jesus didn't even have his own donkey. So why must we obey? It says, so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. In other words, don't give your leaders drama. They have enough stress in looking after the church without having to deal with members who are causing hassles in the congregation. Keep your hassles at home. If it's your husband or your wife, just keep them at home. Alan Watt, shut up. Now, we do not advocate blind submission or forced submission to leadership. Leaders are equippers and overseers for the ministry of the church members. If a member wants to be equipped for ministry, they need to have an attitude of submission in order for the process of equipping to take place. Going further on, at Vineyard Centurion, we're not into leadership worship. We do not label leaders with titles that make them feel or sound important, like pastor, apostle, major one, prophet, etc. We do not, don't call me pastor, because I'm going to find out what work you do, and that's how I'm going to label you. Okay, so if you happen to be an electrician and you come and call me Pastor Allen, I'm going to call you Electrician Barnabas, whatever your name is. Serious. You don't need a label and I don't need a label. For us, leaders are people who function with a gift of leadership given to them by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gets the recognition for calling and gifting them. Got to keep that in mind, eh? And so, Ephesians 4:11. It was He, Jesus Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Pastors and people working together result in the church growing spiritually and numerically. And that's really what God wants. So I'm going to end with where I started. Just want to say something. If you give labels to leaders, that leaves everyone else unlabeled. That means you are creating a two-tier system. You're saying there are gooder people than others. You're gooder. Listen. Don't go there. Okay. I'm waiting for all the teachers to correct me. You're causing a two-tier thing in the family of God. No labels. Please don't call us pastors. You can call me Fatso, you can call me whatever you like. Don't call me pastor. Okay. Right, here we go. I will protect the unity of my church. This is the first commitment we want, by acting in love towards other members, by refusing to gossip, and by following the leaders. Next week, I'll deal with section 2. And I hope those who are visitors, you'll come back, and actually members, you'll come back to find out what you're meant to be doing. Let's stand. Father, I want to thank you for the amazing miracle that you have done in incorporating each one of us into the body of Christ. Lord Jesus, what a privilege it is to belong to you. What a privilege it is to be part of your family. Lord, my prayer is that you would help us to understand the nature of what you have done and the implications of it to each one of us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the people here. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for the changes that are happening, the healings, and the awesome love that's growing. We praise you for all that stuff. Help us, Lord, to honor your body by really being part of it. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.